Welcome to this Netherland Community Library recording of one of our programs. To find more programs, visit nedlib.org.
Let's
this
roll.
Is where you
Well, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being here for our Songs from the Stacks 2.0 reboot. Again, we'd like to thank Electra Greer and Michael Sivkovich for getting this award from the State Board of Libraries, Colorado State Board of Libraries, that enables this concert to happen for us, and this will be videoed and put on our website. Tonight, we have just an amazing opportunity. We generally try to feature local artists from our area, but we're doing kind of an exchange program, mountain town to mountain town.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because if I were to pick the twin sister or brother of Netherland, I probably would think of Paonia right up there among the top candidates. From Paonia, Colorado, former poet and songwriter and wonderful performer. She has a brand new CD. Well, I guess it's not brand new now. It's maybe 6 months.
Yeah, this last August. But yeah. Who went out in the middle of the winter and promoted their work and venues that much?
Yeah, not during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you lead us off with a song right off the bat? Just go right into the song.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. Yes, I will.
Janine Renee from Paonia, Colorado.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's always a poet.
Yeah, there's no former. He said former poet and songwriter. We all know he didn't mean that.
Do I need to do that over?
No, he's
So this song is called Forsaken. And I actually wrote it. There were these three blues musicians that came through Paonia in the town park. And I was just, you know, just so enamored with them. I was listening to them, and I liked what they were doing on the guitar, and I walked back to my house, and I wrote this song. I ran into them in the park at the festival, and I told them that. They insisted on coming to my house and hearing the song, which was like a little, a little like, oh, my God, really? But this is what I it's called Forsaken.
My heart stopped.
if my man comes home
talent and predilection comes from. Who, when you, I'm just gonna go ahead and
go ahead, Eric.
I know the answer to. When you say, "Where were you this morning?" Who is you? Who are you talking
about? In that particular situation, I'm talking about God. I think I might have had one of these strings a little off tune in the last song, and I'm sorry about that. I'm talking about God. I've had a long experience from the time that I was a kid. I'm just going to do this in a minute. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm distracted by it. So when I was a kid, I grew up in the northernmost county of Appalachia in western New York, and it's the Allegheny Mountain region there where the Appalachians spill into Alleghenies, and on 114 acres. And I spent a lot of time out in the woods, and I developed my own thing with God at that point. And things that were happening in the house were very unpleasant, and I found my refuge out in the woods, so with the salamanders and all that. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, that's who I'm talking about in that song, because I think that there have been times in my life for sure, thank you so very much, times in my life for sure where I really felt like I called and no one was listening. So mm-hmm. That's kind of the basis of that song.
And starting out living in a very rural area of New York, not many people around, not many mm-hmm. siblings your age.
Mm-hmm.
Need I say maybe a somewhat less than supportive family environment. Where did that get channeled into, for you at an earlier age, probably poetry, I'm guessing?
Well, I think really singing. From the very, very beginnings, you know, I was like, I just jumped right on that in school and kindergarten and all that. I jumped right on that, the singing part of it. I really had all of this emotion that was one of the ways that I got it out, and it was one of the ways that was appropriate for me to do that. And then later, I did start writing. Started writing a lot of poetry, which most of that early poetry didn't survive. And I also found myself during very difficult times in my life writing. And at definitely certain points in my life when I was writing, I found the people around me very especially the closest people to me, not really down with that. Like really wanting the writing to stop. So I went through a period of about 10 years where I didn't write at all, any poetry. And then when I came back to it again, I was going through another transition in my life. And that's when the first song happened, when I started writing again. Started with poetry, and then the song that I was writing had a repeating line in it. And I never really thought, which is really kind of funny when you think about the fact that I've been always doing the singing and always doing the poetry. And it's like, you know, the great Earl of Sandwich or something. I just never, the peanut butter chocolate thing didn't happen, where I, you know, didn't get the Reese's peanut butter cup for a long time. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I was in my house and I was reading the poem and I started singing it. The melody and lyrics started coming together for me. It was like, and then after that, the songs just started coming, like really fast. Mm-hmm. Like when you first get your balance on a bike and you get it. Oh, I get it. All of a sudden, I got it. I'm like, and I hadn't really been thinking about it before. I had never met a songwriter until right about that point. And I was fascinated by it. I'm like, I literally, you're going to think this is silly. I literally did not think about the fact that people wrote the songs. I really didn't think about that. And now it's like so important to me, and why don't you understand this fact? You know, so, yeah.
Well, let's hear another song.
Oh, God. Okay.
And tune to your guitar. So
thank you so much.
I think he probably did a good job.
I'm sure he did. We'll just, yeah. You did it by ear, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did both. I do by ear. And I like to put my ear on the sound though, because you can really hear it then. I'm not hooked down to the woods.
This guitar's in a new town, you know, they act up sometimes.
Well, it takes a while to take them out of the case.
I'm going to play the song. I wasn't planning on playing it, but after the conversation we just had. Okay. Back in the woods, where the lady slippers grow, I climbed a tree to escape what was below. Well, I was still such a young thing, afraid to up and fly, afraid that if I stayed that I would surely die. From Flint, the prettiest woman on the hill. I never looked much like my mama, but the boys they eyed me still. I spend my time alone in hiding. I never learned to play that game. I'd be having some boys' babies if I did not get away.
Woo!
Oh, don't you cry now, oh mama. Don't cry to make me stay, but don't you cry. Get your way, it's just those easy blues. It's just that old black velvet crawling up on. You. When my folks would take the fight, they'd be mean and they would yell. I would slip right out that back door, tell old Sam Dog, now don't you tell. But the years they stretched before me, it seemed that they would never end. So the woods became my hideout, and the moss became my friend. Well, no mama, she had some records that she would play from time to time, and she would drink that milk and whiskey while she rolled out cherry pie. I took to listening when my folks would go to town. I made it through those years of heartache, 'cause the music showed me how. 2, 3, 4.
Like to come in and join us. Okay, just putting that
good
out there.
Good luck topping that one, Janine. That was great.
Thank you.
So, we've covered a lot of your childhood.
There is a, I really feel fortunate to have grown up where I grew up, because one of the things I learned later in life is that I am, I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I'm an introverted person. And so for me, it was perfect to be out there in the woods communing with the moss and salamanders and my dog. So, yeah.
And the lady slippers.
And the lady slippers. And then all the lady slippers are so beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Northern New York hardwood forest.
Mm-hmm.
So then somehow you ended up in Colorado, raised three boys. Just
and
like
a girl.
I did, and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Three boys and a girl. We met you're also a venue owner with your current partner, Louis, in Paonia, and a wonderful place where Tom and I have played before, and where you probably interact with so many great musicians that come through.
I do.
There.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
To be both a musician, songwriter, and a venue owner who brings other musicians and songwriters in to perform in a town like Paonia, I imagine it's more than wearing two hats. It's probably three or four. And yet you get exposed to so many different forms of songwriting, different artists and their songwriting. And I'm wondering, as both a poet and a songwriter, where does the art and craft come from if you don't have that exposure to other songwriters? If you were completely isolated without getting to hear other songwriters or getting to read poetry, maybe in a library or through books, how have you experienced developing your craft as an artist and a poet and a songwriter?
Wow, that's a big question.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay, because there are a couple of different levels there. There's the level at which, you know, growing up in with a lot of isolation that I did, I developed a way of communicating to get it out. You know, I needed to get it out. Singing was a thing that helped me release emotions. And I was always been very drawn to lyrics and words. They always meant something to me and moved me. And I've often laughed and said sometimes I cry during a car commercial because there's something moved. There's something like really moving about it, you know. So, but I read a lot when I was a kid. You know, it's reading is one of those things that an introverted kid does. And I read a lot, and my parents read a lot. You know, they were big readers, and I think that, and I also think that the process, and this is something that we're getting away from now, the process of actually physically writing, and I'm not talking about a typewriter, I'm talking about physically forming the shapes on the page. It's like there's something that does for your soul. Handwriting is a beautiful thing, and when your handwriting is so personal. And the words that you're saying is so personal. So, you know, that the words that you're writing on the page as opposed to with a typewriter are in your own DNA, in your own individual handwriting as well. And that does something to put that down on paper. And then when you start adding something that I had never really thought about before, when you start adding melody to it, you know, And you can go, and the thing that could become very overwhelming is the whole comparison thing, because there are so many voices out there, so many talented people, so many artists of all kinds, and you just, where I've come to, and I think maybe you too, Eric, is you really can just do who you are. I mean, and really feel fulfilled about it. I can just do who I am, and I'm always discovering what that is and how I'm going to express that. And I think that, there are times when you're reading a book in the library or you're reading a poem where you have this wonderful interchange with another person where they, either in a song or a poem, they said something that just like went right in. And you right away you have this kindred spirit and a person that you probably well first of all they might have been dead for hundreds of years, you know. And when I was in college, I read a lot. You know, I was a performance art student, and I read a lot of plays and read a lot of Greek tragedies and read a lot of that kind of stuff. And I always found it very powerful. So, but I'm one of those people that I need to express myself that way. I don't know if I answered your question. Did I come back around?
Yes,
behind the barn.
Danced around it a lot about how important it is as a songwriter and as a poet to expose yourself to other artists, so that you gain an appreciation for what language helps you experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't hear other people's literature,
mm-hmm.
other people's prose, other people's song lyrics, it becomes very difficult to express your own story in a meaningful way. It helps for me to read, because I gain from that an appreciation for how a writer puts the words together in unique ways that then express much more than just, well, I had a scientific career, so you're just kind of writing facts, but to write in an emotive way, in a way that actually grabs your heart and squeezes it a little bit, is a very different process. Well, can we hear another song?
Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. I have to decide what I'm going to play first. Let's see.
And just for the record, I asked her to come up with four songs that she definitely wanted to play ahead of time.
He asked me that, but I was like, I don't know.
I think the dog ate the homework.
Well, one of the things that is true is that when you go through the process of making an album, you spend a lot of time with those particular songs. And then time goes on, and you write more songs and you want to play those songs. And so I was torn between what I wanted to do, but I'm going to play one another song. So far I played just songs on the album. This one's from the album too. This song is called Drifter. And and I wrote this song after watching a couple fight and really just tear each other apart. And I thought to myself, I would rather be with no one than be in a relationship like that. And this song came out like this. You were a good man. That's what they'll say in town. And I won't be the one to tear your good name down. Hard working, hard talking, hard drinking, hard hands. The hardness of your heart. From the rock of my soul to stand. So give me a drifter. Give me a drifter any day. We spend just a night or two and then move on. Holding that bottle you love best, and I rock for hours on the porch, tears falling on my breast, and I cried for you, I cried for me. And I cried for shame, 'cause I was happy to be free.
Well, if we didn't already know it, I think one of the words that best describes your songwriting is vulnerable. And I'm going to turn that both comically and seriously back on you to ask, first of all, not so seriously, and anybody who gets to see this video from Peonia will really enjoy this. Why do you always wear black?
The first thing that comes to mind is because I'm lazy, and that's not true. That's not true. I'm very comfortable in it. I'm also a designer, and I design renovations and other things. But I like contrast, and I like texture, and I don't visually like things that are all that busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the clothes I tend to wear are really plain. I just want you to know I do wear brown and dark gray as well.
Okay. I'm just glad to hear that there isn't some deep infatuation with Johnny Cash.
Well, I do love Johnny Cash. Okay. But there's no connection. Yeah. I would never feel like I had the right to, like, oh, yeah, be the female Johnny Cash. No. He was just amazing.
There's a joke in Peonia in the community that whenever anyone sees her on the street, she's wearing black.
And, oh, you're wearing black.
If you look at all of her online pictures,
yeah, I do.
She's always wearing black.
I do.
And it goes with everything. Why not?
It does. I told him I did bring two flower dresses. They are in the car. I'm making strides. They're in the car. They came with me.
Yeah. Jeanine is playing Saturday at the Acoustic.
I'm playing tomorrow night. I'm playing an opening set of like five or six songs at the Black Rose Acoustic
Black Rose
Society.
Acoustic Society in
which
Colorado
is a really Springs. This is an interesting. I may not have the courage to say this tomorrow night, but when I was in, if you listen to enough of my songs, this will pop up in my songs. When I was in college, I went through a very traumatic experience, and as a college student, that required that I be put in a safe house. And the safe house is just a country block away from this place I'm performing tomorrow night. And it's been in my brain now for a couple of months. I'm like, wow. So
that brings us back around to vulnerability, and I'd like you to just touch on a moment, maybe before your last song for this program. When you're a recording artist and you record a CD, this is Jeanine's latest and greatest and newest and only CD.
And only.
Tell Me True. It's out everywhere. You can find music, by the way. And she brought some copies tonight if you care to pick one up. When you're recording in a studio, how is that different than when you're performing these incredibly vulnerable, self-revealing songs in front of a live audience?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the collaboration in the studio was amazing, in the sense that I'm pretty sure that all the men that played on the album had not been through the same experience that I had been through.
Mm-hmm. But our good friend Jackson Emmer was the producer.
Yes, and and there was a real deliberate effort to bring out the vulnerability that was in the song, to bring out, to find the right way to play the dobro or the drums or the upright bass that brought out the emotion in the song. And I literally was really moved by the fact that they first of all wanted to do that and did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
I
can't imagine those songs where Rob Ikes is playing the dobro being without that dobro, because
I know
that if you know the sound of the dobro, it's almost a weeping sound.
Yes, and I got to choose the instrumentation, but I did not write their parts for them. They came up with those spontaneously, and that was magical. I thought it was really magical. And then, of course, in the live performance, the faces that you see, and you can when people are with you and they're listening. Because, you know, I think one of the things that it's in one of my songs. I mean, I grew up in a household where, you know, you were to be seen and not heard. We did chat at the dinner table. And when I came up with things that, I mean, this is going to sound, I don't know if this is, I think I can say this, but, you know,
we'll find out.
You can just cut it.
We can edit it.
You can edit it. You know, my dad said, you know, we made the shit that was poured into the mold that made you. You know, you've not had an original thought. So I think maybe for me, it may be true that in the history of the world I haven't had an original thought, but my thoughts are my own. And to be able to, and I've had many experiences in my life where I have been basically, you sit down and shut up, when I've just been trying to express myself. So I think that, I know that is, I'm not the only person that's ever happened to. So it does take, it takes courage to open your mouth when you're not sure if anybody wants you to and say it. So, and I'm not over the top in the way that I say it. I don't even try to be. I just am subtle. I don't like to hit people over the head. I like it to kind of sneak up on you and go, oh, wow, yeah, okay. I think people receive it better that way.
And I think that's probably what about your songs resonates with most of us as listeners is we a lot of similar experience, perhaps, but never heard it described the way you described in your songs. And so it draws us in. Janine Renee from Paonia, Colorado.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Nederland Community Library recording. To find more programs, visit nedlib.org.